This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The world of intellectual property, trademarks, copyrights, and patents can seem confusing and a bit intimidating, but it's vital for anyone who wants to protect what they've created, whether it's an invention, music, or art. This afternoon, we'll talk about navigating the system as well as how these protections work, especially in the digital age. And my guests are John Schlipp. He's an intellectual property librarian and director of the Intellectual Property Awareness Center at Northern Kentucky University's Steele Library. Also, Linda Cochis, intellectual property librarian at the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And John, let's start by what exactly is intellectual property?
Well, it's not smart property, but when applied to a creative work, it could be considered a return on the investment to protect one's investment. That's what I used to like. That's why I like to coin the phrase as.
And this is actually an idea that dates, well, it's in the Constitution, isn't it?
Exactly. Copyright and patents date back to the Constitution in 1790 here in this country and preceded that shortly, probably in Britain and France.
Well, what's the difference between the things? We've got trademarks, we've got copyrights, we've got patents. How is each one of these defined?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. One of the examples that we like to use is the example of the very popular board game Monopoly. And that of course, is a popular game since the Great Depression that's still popular today. But the board game Monopoly had a U.S. patent that was issued in 1935 that has since passed in the public domain. So that's why we see so many other Opoly types of variations. However, because of trademark and copyright, the maker of the Monopoly game still can hold on to that marketing and the marketability of that product because, in addition, they have trademark for the name of the game. They also have a trademark for some of the images associated with the game. And also, they have copyright for the rules and the instructions for the game Monopoly. So there you can see there's different types of intellectual property associated just with one product.
And typically, patents are something that inventors would deal with, correct?
Correct. Patents would be for specific utility or design or plant types of items that would be patented for their unique nature of intellectual property. And then trademarks would be utilized for business names, brands, and logos. And then copyright is for the expression of creative works such as writings, music, photographs, motion pictures, etc.
Linda, businesses put a lot of time into their various different plans, things from human resources plans to marketing plans to financial plans. And do you find that intellectual property awareness is something that often gets overlooked in that whole process?
It sure is. We don't necessarily think about the value of our business name, our business reputation. And those are things that can be protected definitely through trademark. But also, businesses have protocols that they use, or they have specific ways that they run their business. Some of that can be protected through patents or trademark. Certainly any manuals or any kind of things that you produce, especially websites, all going to want to use the copyright on that to make sure that you're keeping, you know, intact with your personal intellectual property so that it's valuable to you, your company.
So it's a really vital issue for any business then.
Oh, yeah. Every business probably has a website. If not, if they do, they definitely want to make sure that they are protecting the copyright issues there and that they are using whatever they post on their website, you know, in accordance with the copyright laws. And certainly business name is huge. I mean, you build a reputation. You want to make sure that that reputation benefits you and that people know when they see your name, you know, what kind of company or what kind of product that you're selling. So you want to make sure you have the protections in place for that. And that's all readily and pretty easily available for people.
513-419-7100. If you have any questions or comments, you can also email talk at wvxu.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And John, Steele Library's Intellectual Property Awareness Center was recently designated as an official patent and Trademark Resource Center. I think the library has been one since, what, 1871? Is that correct?
Yeah, the Cincinnati Public Library was one of the original Patent and Trademark Resource Centers when the program first started in the 1870s. So we are very fortunate here in Cincinnati to have a great wealth of not only digital and computer-based information that we can use, but paper patents and paper documents going back into the late 1880s. So we're pretty lucky. John's getting in on the digital age, though, so not so
whole
much
new
paper
world.
There.
Exactly. But it's nice that we have the two resource centers nearby, and we partner together, which provides more programming opportunities for people to attend our various workshops that we'll talk about later.
And what types of customers, John, are you serving, and what types of intellectual properties do they typically need help with?
Well, it varies. First off, as I like to say, we deal with everyone from inventors to musicians and everyone in between. The inventors are the ones that normally deal with the patents for their inventions. However, the entrepreneurs or small businesses, those are the ones that might use all types of intellectual property, as we've discussed. They would use the patents for their products, the trademarks for their business name or service, and they may rely on copyright for some of their marketing materials for their business. Then we deal with musicians and authors and artists, and many of those folks deal more with copyright for the expression of their creative works.
Well, to talk some more about the resources and the services that you can find at these centers.
Well, you can find knowledgeable librarians, which is the number one resource, of course, at the library, that we're happy to explain the concepts behind all of these, you know, intellectual properties. It's not necessarily obvious to everyone. But also we do teach classes in patent searching, trademark searching. We try to educate the general public on the various differences between the types of intellectual property, because not everything works to protect every portion of your business. So you may need that wide variety in using all of the things that we've talked about under the umbrella of intellectual property.
John, what are some of the more common questions that you get in your role?
Well, one of the most common questions, of course, is how do I get a patent for my invention, or how do I search for a patent? That's the number one, of course, with the inventors. With musicians and artists, it's often how do I register copyright for my creative work? And with businesses, which can be all across the board, the trademark seems to be the most common. They have questions about how can I get a trademark, and I want to make certain my trademark is the same as my business name, and we have to help educate them that there's a difference between registering a business name versus a trademark.
Has the digital age actually made it easier to deal with all this, or has it created a whole new set of challenges? You both can weigh in on this, I'm sure.
It's made it easier, but I think it's also made it more challenging. There's just more out there, more information out there, and it's not always clear and it's not always accurate. So you have to be careful about who you're getting advice from. But it's definitely made searching past trademarks and past patents a lot easier. You're no longer using it's like the Dewey Decimal System, or it's like the card catalog, actually. We no longer have to flip through the cards to find things. We can do that on the computer, and it's a lot easier to use those keywords.
But then on the other hand, on the other extreme on that continuum of all these different types of intellectual property, it's created more challenge with copyright. And copyright is an area that affects so much more because of the expression of all the creative works and all the things that we deal with in our day-to-day life. And we even help by educating many of the students, especially K through 12 students, with programs we've had such as the Creative Thinking Program, where we help to educate those in the younger group about plagiarism awareness, how to make certain to attribute their sources and their research and writing, and also copyright as well, as far as copyright infringement, to make certain they're not using works without permission in some cases.
So if I write an epic poem, not likely to happen with me, but this is just an example. I post it online. Is it now fair game for anyone who wants to download it? And what kinds of protection options do I have?
Well, when you write that poem, the moment you create it, the copyright law since 1976 has made it official that if you're the author and you've created that work and it's in a tangible, permanent form of expression, you are the copyright holder. However, because of the digital world today, it's so easy for people to copy that and distribute it without your permission. Now, there are ways to help protect that, and number one is to register copyright, because if you register the copyright with the Copyright Office, it gives you something to stand on, some legal backing to actually take someone to court for a copyright infringement. And copyright registration is very inexpensive compared to patent applications to be granted, which can run into thousands of dollars. A copyright registration is somewhere in the $30-$35 range presently.
$35 if you do it digitally. Yes.
So it's well worth it.
Well worth $35 to register copyright.
It gives you that official notice too that this is the day and this is exactly what you wrote as your poem, because there may be someone savvy out there who's like, well, he's going to know that I stole his poem. Instead, I'm going to change part of it. No one will know if I just change part of it. I can use it then, right? And that's not true. If you've got it registered, that's something for you to fall back on and be able to show this is what it was.
I would be very unhappy if somebody stole my epic poem. And even if I get that and someone uses it anyway, if I get the protection, do I still have to go to court for damages? I mean, is that still a lot of...
But that's where if you've registered that copyright registration, it gives you the backing to go to court, because otherwise it's difficult to prove, because you need that public documented registration with a government agency.
Are the protections for intellectual property, the laws for these, are they keeping up with all the technological changes, or is that pretty difficult?
Once again, it's the copyright area that probably has had the most challenges, because once again, everyone thinks that if it's on the web, it's available for the taking and it's in the public domain.
And I've actually heard people say that.
But it's but it's not true. It's public dissemination versus public domain. It's disseminated publicly and it's free for people to view and use personally, perhaps, but for them to take that further for business or to publicly display that, that would be a copyright infringement.
The patents definitely, I think, they're trying to keep up with that. We've just had the America Invents Act that passed a couple years ago. It was the most major change in patent laws that's happened in this country probably in many, many, many years. So they're definitely, you know, trying to make the process go a little faster. There is a backlog at the patent office, as you might imagine. The government is trying to keep up, but they've changed some of the prices. They've tried to make it a little bit more affordable for independent inventors. They've tried to make it a little bit quicker for people that are developing technology and companies that are developing technology that's kind of cutting edge to get through the process faster.
And one thing I would like to point out, the Patent and Trademark Office is one of the few federal agencies that self-funded. The fees that it charges run the agency, and they do not rely on taxpayer dollars. And they are one of the most customer service friendly government agencies you will ever deal
with.
That's
true.
All pretty amazing these days. What are the thoughts of each of you on social media sites? Do people sign their rights away to content and photos when they join these sites?
Some of this has to do with licensing, and that's a whole other area. However, it is a type of intellectual property, but it's very good to read the fine print before you join these social network sites, because they may have some rights over what you post. And then at the same time, you have to be careful what you post, that you have the rights to post that. Obviously, you could be posting the work that belongs to someone else and you haven't obtained their permission on this site. So there's two sides to that.
Yeah, we all have a tendency to click through that fine print either at the beginning or the end. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, just get me on. I just want to do my picture. That's fine. And you really do have to pay attention to what you're agreeing to do there, because you may be giving away your rights or you may be giving away part of your rights. You have to pay attention.
Yeah, so you do need to read that fine print very carefully, not just like I do, scroll through it and go down the box and go, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, be careful in that arena. Do either one of you have any trademark or copyright horror stories about someone or a business who might have lost money because they failed to get the proper protection?
Well, I think aside from that, although I'm certain that has occurred, the one thing we would like to point out is people should be very careful about invention promotion firms.
Yes.
Because some of these are questionable and they could be scams. And we have seen cases where some at-risk groups or those on fixed incomes may have relinquished their entire retirement or their savings that they have for some of these questionable promotion firms, where these promotion firms may provide things that we provide for free at the library, and they'll charge thousands of dollars for the same service.
You're not necessarily saying they're all bad, but you have to be careful.
Be very careful.
When you're going out there and you're looking, because I see the ads for these all the time. You
Correct.
Can get your invention patented through us. We can help you promote it. So just be cautious with that kind of thing.
Yeah, the USPTO on their website does have a very good set of questions if you are considering using a promotion firm that you should take with you when you go to hire one of these firms and get the answers to these questions in writing. They are required by law to do that for you so that you can have an idea of what you're really getting when you, you know, hand your money over. And the number one thing is they shouldn't be asking for your money up front. If someone's asking for your money up front, walk away.
Any other clues as to they might be a scam?
Well, you could also
the money up front's a big one.
That's
obviously.
That's a big one,
and you could also see if there's any complaints with the Better Business Bureau, for example.
Right.
That's another way to verify that. But usually, if it sounds too good to be true, it more than likely is.
Yeah, that old saying is very true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us about the programs that you have to offer. You've got quite a few of them to help people who are looking for protecting their intellectual property, don't you?
We do indeed. We offer programs primarily for the inventor side, but we will be expanding these to include more and more for the authors, artists, and educator audience. Linda, you've got a list there. What are some of the examples we have soon?
Well, The next thing that's coming up is the Cincinnati Inventors Council meets every first Tuesday of every month at the Cincinnati Public Library downtown here in Maine. And that's a free meeting open to the public. They have a different speaker every month that talks about some aspect of inventing or intellectual property or being creative. And then they also open up the meeting for people to, you know, if you have a question or you need help doing something, to kind of network with each other. I teach a real quick patent and trademark searching class right before the meeting. The meeting starts at 7. My class starts at 6:30. So if you have any questions about patents or trademarks or even copyright, feel free to come by at 6:30. The next one's January 7th.
And then the Intellectual Property Awareness Center at Steele Library, we also provide support. We get a lot of emails and telephone calls, so we'll have one-on-one consulting as well to assist. But we will be building more programs in the future to address all these areas. Right now, we'll be working with more of the advanced patent searching classes, which we have this information on both of our websites, which I believe that you provide on the link to the story today. And in addition to that, we also are working with the schools this spring on a new program known as the Imagine Expo. And the Imagine Expo will be to help the K-12 audience with their research, writing, creativity areas. And the Imagine acronym covers the target audience of the different students and their disciplines that they're working with. The I stands for inventors in Imagine. The letter M stands for musicians. The letter A is for authors and artists. The letter G is for genius geeks and gamers. Letter I is for innovators. The letter N is for nonconformists, or those who think outside the box. And the letter E are for entrepreneurs. And our program is one that will help the educators in the region to tie this to project-based learning submissions that will be included in the contest these students will submit that are also tied to the Common Core State Standards, a way to help the educators with this because it's an area that's had some controversy, however it is here, and we're here to help the educators at least to address some of the challenges and needs of including providing evidence and dealing with intellectual property and information literacy and other types of literacies as well tied to the new Common Core State Standards.
And, of course, people who need to contact you don't have to wait for an event. I mean, you're both
right.
Working. You work with the library. You work with the Steele Library. So you're available individually, I would take it.
Oh,
correct.
Sure. We're happy to talk to people anytime.
And, again, just a reminder that we are not attorneys. And we do not provide legal advice. However, we do have the expertise on the information related to this topic, and we can provide the information that will help people and then point them to the professional experts to assist, such as attorneys.
So a friend of mine is sending me a message here with a good concrete example. They're asking if I take or I create a great image. Say I take a patriotic shot that I want to sell and put on T-shirts and posters and so on. Where do I start in protecting that image? What do I do before I ever put that image out there?
Well, first off, we want to make certain that that friend's image is an original image. That is their own original image. It's not a mashup or something they've adapted. It is their original image.
I'm not sure. Let's say it's original. This is kind of a hypothetical anyhow.
Okay. So as long as it's an original image, we're in good shape. The first thing they would want to do is register the copyright for the expression of that artwork, if I'm understanding it correctly. And depending on what kind of themes are associated with that, if there's a character or something they've created unique and they're going to use it in business, There could be the potential for a trademark, depending on how it's used, but more than likely it would be the copyright registration that's most important.
Do either of you get questions from some of the larger companies in town, the companies that do a lot of branding like P&G?
We get mid-sized companies.
Yeah, we tend to get more of the smaller companies. Yeah. P&G probably has their own patent librarian.
And sure, they have their own attorneys as well.
I know they have their own attorneys, yes. So we get more of the smaller.
Small to mid-sized.
Yeah, that don't have that kind of staff. So.
But just to be clear, you're a resource that's available to anyone
to
who
anyone.
Has questions
Correct.
In these areas.
Correct.
Why is it important for everyone from inventors to musicians to consider meeting with you or attending one of your workshops?
I think really it's just for the awareness of what you have in intellectual property. Until you sit down and really take stock of what you're doing with your business or how you're disseminating your music or your stories, you don't realize what potential value there is to that. And that is a value to your company or to you as an independent business. So, I mean, that's something I think that we fail to see how much value.
And
there
one
is.
Good example of that would be there's this old wives' tale, especially with inventors and sometimes with musicians, that they think that they can take their invention idea or their music work and they can send it to themselves in a sealed envelope.
The poor man's patent.
Yes, the poor man's patent. And that does not hold up in court. It does not work. And luckily, there is something known as a non-provisional patent application that is available now that can help, which is a little more affordable for that scenario where you have something where you want to determine if there's a viable market for your
Well, let's
product.
Be clear, John. That's the provisional, patent application.
Me. Thank you. Thank you.
That
provisional,
one
not provisional.
Is much less expensive.
There we go.
And provides you certain rights for about a year.
So I should not take my epic poem and mail it to myself.
No, that's not
idea.
Copyright.
It's not going
Although
to work.
It's, you know, it's just, it doesn't stand up in court, unfortunately.
Oh, well, I'll pay my $35 and I'll move along. Well, thanks to both of you so much for joining me this afternoon. John Schlipp, intellectual property librarian and director with the Intellectual Property Awareness Center at Northern Kentucky University's Steele Library. Also, Linda Cochis, intellectual property librarian at the Public Library of Cincinnati in Hamilton County. And as we mentioned, you can find a link to the schedule of their programs they're offering about patents and trademarks at wvxu.org. After the break, you'll never look at a cup of coffee quite the same way, thanks to a book about the history of Java and its global impact. And in about 22 minutes and focus on technology, do you have what it takes to be an extreme Christmas light decorator? This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.